Chapter 13. Boards. Mabot found her waist achievable, and her lips desirable. The sudden and amatory cedars had, as it were, performed for her a miraculous piece of one-day laundry work. He had taken the sackcloth of her uncomeliness, had washed, dried, starched and ironed it, and returned it to her sheer embroidered lawn the robe of Venus herself. The freckles on Tildy's cheeks merged into a rosy flush. Now both Circe and Psyche peeped from her brightened eyes. Not even Aileen herself had been publicly embraced and kissed in the restaurant. Tildy could not keep the delightful secret. When trade was slack she went and stood at Bogle's desk. Her eyes were shining. She tried not to let her words sound proud and boastful. "A gentleman insulted me today," she said. "He hugged me around the waist and kissed me." "That so?" said Bogle, cracking open his business armor. "Stir this week you get $1 a week more." At the next regular meal, when Tildy set food before customers with whom he had acquaintance, she said to each of them modestly, as one whose merit needed no bolstering, "A gentleman insulted me today in the restaurant. He put his arm around my waist and kissed me." The diners accepted the revelation in various ways, some incredulously, some with congratulations. Others turned upon her the stream of badinage that had hitherto been directed at Aileen alone. And Tildy's heart swelled in her bosom, for she saw at last the towers of romance rise above the horizon of the gray plain in which she had for so long traveled. For 2 days Mr. Cedars came not again. During that time Tildy established herself firmly as a woman to be wooed. She bought ribbons, and arranged her hair like Aileen's, and tightened her waist 2 inches. She had a thrilling, but delightful fear that Mr. Cedars would rush in suddenly, and shoot her with a pistol. He must have loved her desperately, and impulsive lovers are always blindly jealous. Even Aileen had not been shot at with a pistol. And then Tildy rather hoped that he would not shoot at her, for she was always loyal to Aileen, and she did not want to overshadow her friend. At 4 o'clock on the afternoon of the third day Mr. Cedars came in. There were no customers at the tables. At the back end of the restaurant Tildy was refilling the mustard pots and Aileen was quartering pies. Mr. Cedars walked back to where they stood. Tildy looked up and saw him, gasped, and pressed the mustard spoon against her heart. A red hair bow was in her hair. She wore Venus's 8th Avenue badge, the blue bead necklace with the swinging silver symbolic heart. Mr. Cedars was flushed and embarrassed. He plunged one hand into his hip pocket, and the other into a fresh pumpkin pie. "Miss Tildy," said he, "I want to apologize for what I done the other evening. Tell you the truth, I was pretty well tanked up, or I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't do no lady that away when I was sober. So I hope, Miss Tildy, you'll accept my apology, and believe that I wouldn't have done it, if I'd known what I was doing, and hadn't have been drunk." With this handsome plea Mr. Cedars backed away, and departed, feeling that reparation had been made. But behind the convenient screen Tildy had thrown herself flat upon the table among the butter chips and the coffee cups, and was sobbing her heart out, and back again to the gray plain wherein travel they with blunt noses and hay-colored hair. From her nod as he had torn the red hair bow, and cast it upon the floor. Cedars she despised utterly, as he had but taken his kiss as that of a pioneer and prophetic prince who might have set the clocks going and the pages to running in fairyland. But the kiss had been maudlin and unmeant. The court had not stirred at the false alarm. She must forevermore remain the sleeping beauty. Yet not all was lost. Aileen's arm was around her, and Tildy's red hand groped among the butter chips till it found the warm clasp of her friend's. "Don't you fret, Till," said Aileen, who did not understand entirely. "That turnip-faced little clothespin of a Cedars ain't worth it. He ain't anything of a gentleman or he wouldn't ever have apologized." End of the Project Gutenberg text of the 4 million by O. Henry. 4 mil by Gutenberg edition.